Artificial intelligence has been evolving for years, but in the last two, it has taken center stage, reshaping how we live and work. For us in cybersecurity, it's more than just a tool, it's a game changer, helping us detect threats faster and respond smarter. Today, we'll be diving into its impact, risks, challenges, as well as what the future holds. I'm Anita John, and welcome back to the In Cyber podcast, joined by Callum and Warren in a new studio.
Indeed, indeed. Before we get started, I'd just like to say what a privilege it is for us to actually speak about AI in today's time, because AI started in the 40s, actually. That's when it was first conceptualized. So for us to sit here, use it and talk about it, I think it's it's fantastic. So I'm excited about this conversation today.
Yeah, it's a big topic. There's DeepSeek that's come out now. You know, we've had OpenAI and ChatGPT for a while, so there's a lot kind of to play with and to chat about. So I'm very looking forward to it.
Definitely. So I mean, starting off with, how has AI affected how we work? Of course, it can affect many areas of our lives, where how we live, but specifically in terms of work, how has that affected you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so from my side, in terms of implementations and all that, there's a lot of information you need when creating your documentation, when putting into, you know, and you don't want to say exactly what's going on, because it's very simple and very, and what ChatGPT helps with is that bigger picture of getting a lot of information and you taking that and then combing through it and using it to your benefit. And I think with implementations, we've been able to see what we want to achieve within a policy or procedure, and then take that into ChatGPT and say, okay, I need something that can, and you'd describe the purpose of the policy. It'll then help put a bunch of stuff together to help you, and then you take that and then comb through it and find exactly what you need. So it's definitely made it faster for us to be able to implement standards and frameworks within any company or organization. But also think that it's allowed us to rely on something. But the importance, obviously, is to not rely on it too much, because it's not 100% correct all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where experience. From my perspective, it's actually helping the more experienced professionals, because you're able to tell what's right or wrong from it. But it's made planning faster. It's made doing what matters. Mm. Like, you get the job done faster. So that's the greatest thing about it, in my opinion, because I feel like in most professions we all use search engines, Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, but now you have AI, which kind of does that job way faster for you, much more easier. I actually saw someone complaining recently that Google's search engine is just full of AI, and
that is true. Yeah,
people actually hate that because they're saying it's a lot of nonsense, and they don't want the future to just always rely on AI. So that's where it gets a little bit tricky, because for experienced people, they're able to tell the nonsense from the truth. So it's, for me personally, I'm happy. It's made my life much better, more efficient. Exactly. I don't have to waste time.
The problem is you see that over-reliance on it. You see people starting to use it over and over and over again. And it makes you look at a post, if you see it on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and you go, is this someone genuinely wanting to sell a product to me, or am I just another number, and that's where that loss of, even in today's world without AI, there's a lot of loss of human interaction, and AI is now creating that gap even bigger.
Even to Warren, that ties into what Warren had said in terms of it helps the more experienced people, because they can sort of see where AI is actually wrong, and then apply that human, human intervention, and make sure that they are getting the correct results. And even in auditing, AI could help a lot with efficiency, like you guys mentioned. You know, with auditing, it's a very manual, repetitive,
the scheduling,
exactly, doing especially documentation reviews, to your point earlier as well. You can get AI-driven documentation tools, which speeds up that process, and you can just prompt it to look for specific things instead of you manually going through all the documentation, and you just feed it the standard that you want to you wanted to compare to. However, of course, it's not all fun and games. It's not all fun, if I could say, because it doesn't, it still hasn't grasped all of the security standards quite correctly. You still have to, again, apply your knowledge just to double check that it's doing the right thing. But it definitely does speed up a lot of things in terms of risk assessments as well. I think AI could be of great help. It could, you know, predict what are the risks, again, based off the nature of your business, mm-hmm. instead of you manually putting that in, because that's something that we've seen a lot of companies do quite wrong. And with the help of AI, it could reduce, you know, that mistakes that a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. Also just helps you understand. Yeah, like, I've learned quite a lot from AI about a standard, you know, So it definitely also helps with learning. It
makes learning, studying, research just much more easier, and it's able to explain things to you at different levels. You can say to it, explain to me like I'm 5, explain to me like I'm 15, explain like I'm 35, and it's actually like able to match up to
my favorite is
that.
Explain to me like I'm a toddler.
Exactly. Break it down. So what you said about it's not 100% correct in certain things, you're referring to the general version, the general AI, the ChatGPTs, the generative AIs, where it's not, it's learning models aren't specialized on a specific topic.
That's true.
Nowadays, they've made it so much easier to actually just get a model and train it.
Yeah.
So you're actually able to get an AI, just give it standards, and it's solely based on standards. And that's just the power of it. It's so cool you can do that. But then the issue arises for newbies in the industries. So regardless of what industry, not just cybersecurity, like if you're a fresh junior, and like you said, over-reliance, and you just trust what ChatGPT is saying or what the AI is saying, you're going to fall flat in your face when you actually come into a situation which the AI hasn't really covered well, or you don't have the experience to navigate well. So, yeah, it's how do you think we should approach that or deal with that as a society for new people in the industries?
It's almost that. I mean, like, it's the same reason that at schools you don't give everyone the... a calculator in those exams, all those math exams that you needed. It's basic numbers that you need to add up or whatever it may be. It's you just don't give them all the tools, and you make sure that you've got the knowledge before you go and use things like ChatGPT. So I think that's a better kind of way of going about it, is that if they can do the job without it, then they can use it to then help them do it themselves. I think a lot of policies that I've seen that I've had to edit and change, a lot of it's just like there's a paragraph of like, what on earth does that mean? What relevance does it have to the document? None. And it's also got names in there that are generic, that actually they don't really come, or there's brackets that someone forgot to take out, because like in CVs, you see a lot of the times that CVs, people say, please insert name here. Well, they haven't.
Yeah.
They've copied this straight from ChatGPT and haven't, you know, altered it. So
yeah, I definitely agree. I think, you know, again, you do need to know the basics first before using AI, because AI is not meant to, you know, just take over your job, really. It's meant to just, you're supposed to work hand in hand with it, you know, to make your job easier. So that was a very actually good example that you used with the calculator thing, because, in school, we first had to learn, you know, how to do plus and minus times manually first. And then only in like, what, grade 7, grade 8, something, then we start using calculators.
Sorry, but the thing is, you got to grade 7 and then they gave you a calculator. It's free. AI is open. Like, anyone, even my 15-year-old brother can access it, and no one's giving you the permission to use it. So it's like, I mean, companies are like blocking it from the like store from using it. Like, they are those measures, but it's not bulletproof, basically.
Yeah.
There's still opportunities for people to use it, like, even though they're not allowed. So it's like,
it's being disciplined.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I've seen like a lot of, I've seen a lot of people post videos on how to use AI, you know, like the kind of prompts that you can.
The right way.
So I think, having like training and awareness, incorporating that as well, you know, where you're not just training on cybersecurity. If you really want to use AI in your organization and make people's lives easier, then incorporate that as well into your training program, so that people actually know how to use it the right way.
So companies should educate
Their
staff on how to use it.
I think so,
instead of like stopping them from using it completely.
Yeah.
Okay. It could work. It could work, but still.
People can still abuse it.
Exactly.
Though, yeah.
You know, I'm fresh out of high school. I want to prove a point to my manager that I'm like good at. We're going to use cybersecurity as an example, that I'm like super good at security operations and I know what to do when I get incidents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use ChatGPT.
Yeah. I mean, that's very fair.
It's like, I love the discipline thing. Yeah. Like, you know, be noble, do the right thing, but it's quite difficult because you have the tools.
But then you're only lying to yourself also, because you're not really learning anything. That's sort of like cheating your way through it. And I think at some point it's going to, in your career, it's going to catch up to you.
Show up.
Yeah. And it's going to show that, yeah, you've been using AI this entire time.
You will fall short when it comes to chatting to people.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's the point.
Exactly. What's the point?
That's the point. You're going to fall flat if you just think AI is right all the time.
Yeah.
It's the way to career progression.
So Callum mentioned that over-reliance was, you know, one of the risks that comes with AI. Mm. What other kinds of risks are there? I mean, I'm sure there's quite a lot, but what are some of the risks that we find with using AI?
I think the most impactful risk from a normal user, if we can call it that, is disinformation and misinformation. Mm-hmm. People who use AI to spread misinformation, and I'll use our popular COVID as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Using AI to generate fake profiles, send fake messages about like where COVID come from, who started it, what's the point, and all of that, just causing a lot of conspiracy stories. That's like the, I feel like, is the most problematic thing we're getting from AI, because it is causing a lot of false narratives and perspectives about things and people.
Yeah.
So that's quite a big risk.
To add to that, the World Economic Forum listed it as the top risk in the world at the moment is misinformation and disinformation.
Mm.
Cybersecurity being the fourth. But, you know, the fact that you are not sure what is on the internet, and I think we made a reel about it as well, the fact that you cannot believe everything on the internet. You can't look at something and go, oh, yeah, that's so true. And I mean, I have many family members, and there are a few of them who believe stories that aren't actually real or true or haven't happened, but they're reading on the internet and they're believing that it's an article, therefore it has to be real. And I think, you know, being, you know, inquisitive on what that topic is, going and saying, okay, that is it now. Let's look for more articles who can reference the same thing, and realizing that there's nothing out there, you know, something that Trump did, or maybe he actually didn't do that. It's all those sort of things. That
in America, I see that there's a lot of tools or services which, like, basically takes online articles and kind of weigh in which political, like if it's left-leaning or right-leaning, and does like a whole bias scale.
Oh, wow.
It's actually kind of crazy, that kind of concept.
That's interesting,
but exactly that, because there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and as more people get online, more content, more information, more false narratives.
There's a company, I don't know the name of them now, they've worked in big data. And what they used to do is, if you were a Trump supporter, if you were a Hillary Clinton supporter, this was back in 2016, whenever that election was, and if you were supporting Hillary Clinton, you would get a lot of targeted adverts on YouTube about why she was bad, what she did wrong, to try and get you to go to Trump's side. And the same with the Trump supporters, they would get information, they would, if they were on the fence, unsure about the fact if they should vote for Trump or not, they would put even more emphasis on the fact that Hillary was bad, to try and wear a narrative because someone in the Trump campaign had paid someone off to then do that. So there is that amount of information in the world that you can sway a country's belief system, which is insane.
That is crazy.
I think there's a Netflix scene.
Yes, I can't remember the name of it though.
But that is insane.
Yeah.
And you actually like read the IC Squared article about, like they did like a survey about how AI influenced cybersecurity. So they asked like cybersecurity professionals. And in that report, they mentioned that a lot of like countries, when they get closer to like election times, there's a lot of like AI activity, AI-based attacks that originate in these locations, like exactly what you're saying. So when a party's trying to influence the public, they'll probably lean on AI to to do that. Like, that's the way forward for political parties. Sure. It's crazy.
It's scary.
It's like, it's in all areas of life.
Yeah.
Education, corporate.
Yeah. Politics.
Politics.
I'm sure in some instance religious. You never know.
I saw, what was it? I think it was like a religious cryptocurrency, I think. It was like Jesus coin or something
I
like that.
I also bumped into like a, I think it was like Bible.ai or something, you know, like where you can, and I was like, that's crazy. Like, you can even use AI for like religious purposes, which is quite interesting. I think also something else to add on to the risks is, and something I've experienced quite a lot with ChatGPT, but I don't think this only applies to ChatGPT, is that sometimes AI can lack contextual understanding. Mm. So like, it can detect threats, yes, but it doesn't really understand why that thing is a risk or it's a threat. You know, it's just basing it off, you know, past prompts or like what you feel it exactly, but doesn't really have the bigger picture, which again can tie into it giving you the wrong results because it's just giving you based off AB, you know.
The problem with it these days, it sort of seems like quite a complex thing to understand. Mm. Like, people just, exactly like you said, they think it knows everything. Yeah. It seems like it knows everything. Mm.
But it actually,
if you actually know the internals, at the fundamental level, it's just pattern recognition.
Exactly.
Like, it's just taking the word. Like, if you say Google, it's going to try to match different other words that match to Google. From the data set it studied, like, what other sort of like prompts, words, conversation that match with the word Google. Mm. So at the end of the day, it doesn't know anything.
It really doesn't.
Matching.
It becomes patterns. So frustrating because sometimes when I'm trying to search for something and it gives me the wrong results, and I'm like, oh, okay, then I have to like give it the entire backstory first and be like, this is what this is. Mm. You know, A, B, C, D, and then eventually to be like, oh, okay, sorry, my bad. It's a bit frustrating, but yes, a lot of people have the misunderstanding that it just knows everything, but it really, really doesn't, yeah.
The worst time to have a conversation with you is after you've had a conversation with ChatGPT, because you are frustrated beyond.
Especially from like a creative side of things as well. You know, we may be looking for captions. Yeah. Or like, you know, something in like the more creative space, it really lacks in that space because it doesn't know. And unless someone else has prompted that exact thing, then okay, it'll be like, oh, this TikTok trend, you know. Mm. But other than that, it really doesn't know. You really have to like re-explain everything. At that point, you might as well just think of your own caption. You know?
It's not intuitive.
Yeah.
That's why there's a lot of like prompts. Mm. Courses like they teach you how to actually prompt it, because people saw the gap of people don't actually understand how to ask it questions and get the right answers and whatnot.
Yeah, and I mean, with the risks in specifically in cybersecurity, there's been measures in place to try and make people understand AI a bit better. Mm. Such, you know, now there's these new standards on AI as well. So basically, as AI is improving, so is the industry. We're keeping up with the AI and how fast it's going as well. One of the standards is the ISO 42001, which I'm sure we all know about, that focuses on the AI management system. Yeah. So because AI is such a normal thing nowadays, where everyone is using it. So to your point earlier, companies are actually starting to have policies around it so that people can use it the right way. And this is where the ISO 42001 standard comes in, because the same way how you have a security management system, you now have an AI management system as well. And this that can also be implemented. It can also be audited. It's also vulnerabilities that can be found in there. And you also need to have a continuous way to manage that, which is quite interesting because it's like, you know, it's okay now. Basically, they're saying it's okay to use AI. Mm. Just follow these set guidelines. And of course, there's other standards as well, like NIST, and the laws, new laws that's been introduced as well. But yeah, that's the ISO 42001. I know it's one that's quite booming in the industry now, and everybody's just trying to get certified.
It's needing a lot of updates from what I've seen. Yeah. Like the first one, I mean, just... And I know it's a very technical kind of level, but on the formatting of a document, it starts at 2. And you would think that if something is going through all these levels of, you know, But it's just they've rushed it to get it out because it's AI. Everyone wants AI. Everyone's
that's the thing. Yeah, they're behind. They were behind with it because its development. It's rapid.
Yeah,
it's rapid. People started using it in organizations before the organization even understood
exactly.
what it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
Where the data is going. You mentioned the risks. So employees putting in company IP, intellectual property, in these systems is actually a huge risk because...
It's way more common than we think.
Exactly, because the companies are not deciding where their data is going, or what happens to their data. And we've seen recently with this new Chinese company that made a AI model called DeepSeek. Mm. So the reason why it's gotten so popular is because OpenAI, the creators of ChatGPT, their flagship model is expensive. It's not free. But its capabilities are found in this Chinese model. So, like, it's actually neck and neck in terms of, like, the benchmark tests they do, like math questions, software engineering things. They actually, like, stress test them. And the DeepSeek, it's free, open source, is doing very, very well. So, like, that's where the hype is all about there with DeepSeek. However, when they created it, there was little to no security consideration. So once it was launched live, attackers were able to access DeepSeek's internals. Mm. They were able to access users' prompts because they got to the database, they got to the API keys, they got to everything they needed from a hacking perspective. They had fully compromised DeepSeek because exactly AI is fast, rapid, we're rushing.
Mm.
It's almost reactive when it comes to security. Like people react when something happens, and okay, cool, now we know it's not going to happen again because it's rapidly evolving.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you brought up there with attackers basically manipulating the use of AI for malicious intent, because exactly that, as much as we get something that can help us, at the same time, attackers are also going to use that against us. So there's been a lot of scams that are now AI generated, a lot of hacks that are now AI generated. So it's both good and bad in that sense.
So would you guys, do you guys think AI has helped the defensive side or the offensive side more?
To touch on that, there's a quote, and it's the only thing for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing. And if you accept that it's going to be doing bad, if you accept the fact that the it's going to create bad, and you just leave it at that, and I think that yes, it's going to benefit a lot more evil than good. But I would also say that for us to create a world that is in equilibrium, we need to make sure that it's benefiting both parties. I don't think one is better than the other.
I think it's in equilibrium.
Yeah.
The offensive got equipped, so did the defensive. Like you said, we're able to respond faster, detect faster.
Mm.
They're able to launch more attacks, do more attacks, so...
It's a balance, yeah. I do think that it is easier. I'm not saying it's better, but I do think it's easier to use it for malicious intent.
100%.
Yeah, and in that sense, the hackers kind of get an upper hand because, like you mentioned, maybe putting in sensitive information, like all of those sort of things we on the defense side of things have to take note of. Whereas a hacker doesn't really care about any of that. They're just going for it. So definitely it would be easier to just, you make an AI-driven scan compared to using it for the good.
So, yeah, I like that point. AI does make the barriers of entry into cybercrime easier. Because like you said, you're able to ask it, how can I become a black hat hacker? How can I become a cyber criminal? The flagship commercial... models like ChatGPT, they won't tell you that, but it's quite easy to get like a DeepSeek to tell you that. A similar type of model. You can host your own AI nowadays. You can get your own ChatGPT that's locally hosted on your machine, so you can get it to do what you want. I think, definitely, they call them script kiddies in the hacking worlds, like people that don't know what they're doing but able to do it. So exactly that, you get a lot more. Hackers, so we need to find a way to get a lot more defensive guys in.
Yeah.
Because exactly, the strain kind of, is that little bit of imbalance of more people doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's so easy to just like say ChatGPT, I want to create a different person, as in a different brain, different part of me, and it'll create your own personality, your own everything, so that all you do is you pretend to be this person that you're not, and then you then go on the fact that you can easily make money through other ways rather than going through the natural work hard, find a place, get into the defensive side or get a proper job, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
You know, everyone's trying to find a way to make money easier, and there's never actually going to be a easier way to make money. Mm. People either get lucky or they are in not in the legitimate space, if that makes sense.
So I think it's quite easy to manipulate AI. You know, like, because obviously pattern recognition, you can just change the pattern, you know, to best benefit you. And again, that would work more in favor to the hacker and for us. So, yeah, to your point, there is a little bit of an imbalance. As much as we want the equilibrium, there's definitely is an imbalance, some sort of imbalance, yeah.
100%. Yeah. What about taking away jobs?
I was just about to ask the million-dollar question. Will AI replace human jobs?
I mean, of that, I think 84% of people think that their jobs are going to be replaced. At the moment, 84% of people will be able to use AI within their jobs. 33% of those people already have AI within the jobs using them. That'll be like us on the tech side trying to get things quicker, faster. But there is never going to be, AI will at the moment never replace a job or someone. It may replace something that's able to be automated. Admin is easily automated, and I've been doing a lot of things recently when it comes to automating something that I could just, you know, click a button and it does it for me rather than having to go and copy paste. So that kind of stuff, I feel like it will, but the more the creative industry, it'll be very hard to replace that. The in engineers, having to have that kind of creative and logical brain, but also having that human sanity as well, it will never completely replace it. It'll only benefit us.
To your point, so with the creative industry side of things, funny enough, actually, I was browsing through Pinterest the other day. I was just like randomly browsing, looking for different hairstyles. And all the pictures that I saw of the models were AI generated, which was actually quite And at first, I didn't even realize because it was that good. And then when I looked at it, then I started to realize it's the same person, but like different shades, different hairstyles. Jesus. But it was the same person. That's crazy. Yeah, like it was actually AI generated. Even the concept that we had.
I was about to say that when we got here, the guy.
Yeah,
said
you thought the set was AI generated. Yep. So to a certain extent, it could actually. We've actually spoken about this with models where modeling could potentially be replaced by AI.
Same thing in marketing, they're making AI-driven ads. But exactly. Then, for me, my perspective on that is that. Let's drive humanity forward.
Mm.
Let's develop. If it can replace copywriters, if you were a copywriter, go do something better or like go benefit society in a different way, because we can always use humans in different sectors or different industries.
That's true.
It gets a little bit controversial when it's like, okay, people need salaries that these certain jobs create to survive. So it's like, okay, how do we... For jobs that are taken away, how does the government, I guess, reintroduce those people back into the workforce?
It's to go back a little bit, the credibility of the model space, as you were mentioning now, does kind of lose complete touch because now you've got an AI model who has got one of the new Zara brands on them. But me as a consumer, I'm going, but what if it actually doesn't look like that on me?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But now if I'm seeing an actual human being on
that
it,
is very
I'm
true.
Going, well, that looks like me. I would actually buy that.
More relatable,
so that would change that. To answer your question, it may be actually quite difficult, especially here in South Africa. We have a lot of people in Cape Town itself that don't have the education, the skills to enter a... per se more high-paying job or the higher-paying job market. And that's very difficult to solve. there's a lot that we're missing out on. There's public transport. As the number one city in the world, we have the least amount of public transport for everyone to use.
Mm.
And I think that's, you know, it ties into the big problem of how do we introduce those other people into society or into the higher paying society to remove that wealth gap. Mm. And I think you've got to realize that every human has their own cost. And if they're doing something that, you know, someone would have to do one day, they should be paid to do that no matter what, where they come from, what they do. And, you know, like if you are someone who's cleans or, you know, a janitor in a big commercial building, you shouldn't be paid less than someone who is using the skills that they've learned and is now building themselves up in the company, because you've also been there for a significant amount of time. Why do they deserve it over you? Because you don't have the, you know, you aren't smart enough, you aren't this. Everyone, you know, you're human at the end of the day. So,
yeah. I think also to answer the question if AI will replace jobs, you actually said a very good point by saying it will replace automation, but not necessarily jobs. That's a very good point, because at the end of the day, you still need, you know, human oversight. Intervention. Yeah, human oversight. Especially like in jobs that requires a lot of decision making. You definitely do not want to trust AI to make the final decision on something. So I think maybe, like you said, you know, humanity needs to then also grow and then be more leaders and, you know, make decisions instead of doing the repetitive tasks. I know it's not as easy, like you mentioned, considering the current economic state and everything, but maybe that's what we should be empowering people to do more, is, you know, make decisions, be decision makers.
Like, I'm actually, while you're saying this, what's coming to my brain is we need to find a way to encourage people to learn AI, because we know the school system, the university system is quite slow. By the time they introduce AI into like your regular subjects,
it's gonna be, they don't even have cybersecurity. You know, it's gonna be like AI.
A little bit too late. So just encouraging the normal person to go out of their way to learn AI, learn how it can benefit them going forward. I feel like it's a big gap, especially like now in South Africa.
Mm.
Like it's something we should be prioritizing and raising more awareness around.
Yeah,
definitely.
So your question on, you know, reintroducing people back into society, I think this, what we're doing here, is allowing for people to see what's out there without having to pay for anything. We are free on all platforms, on Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. We're on Instagram. Our inbox is open. You know, we're able to then chat to people if they need advice. That is, if you have a cell phone. That is, if you have a smartphone. If you have an internet connection, power, etc. You know, in South Africa, obviously, as I've said, you have your low to your high, and to, you know, go to those people who are in those low places, to reach out to them, to the people who have the ability to, need to, or should reach out to those sort of people to then reintroduce them. I feel like on their own, they're almost a bit helpless. Mm. Although I know it's controversial and I could be wrong.
No, but you're on the right path. Like, we should go out of our way as people who know to teach those that don't know. And that's kind of what life is about. When we were growing up, how many people came to our schools to teach us about things we didn't know?
Exactly.
You know, it's our turn to give back through AI. And I think that's a great thing. Like, let's do that.
I think people kind of do expect everyone to know about AI.
But that's not the case.
Yeah, it's funny because I was actually also showing my mother AI, and I was showing her like how it can also answer you back in a language that she understands. And she was so blown away by it. She was like, oh my gosh, Anita, this is the most beautiful. And now she sits and uses it, like she brainstorms with it. So definitely just, educating them on it and allow them to use it however they feel would work for them. Because I never told exactly what to do with it. I just said, this is a thing called AI, because we're trying to calculate something. And I was like, oh, let's use AI. And we did. And she was like, oh, you can do this. And then I showed her how it can translate, and now she's using it for like everything at her workspace.
Please show her the conversational side, because now ChatGPT, you can have a conversation.
Yeah.
With it,
like,
oh, yes, yeah,
it's mind blowing. Exactly, the other day, I was like having a full blown conversation. I was like, "Be my therapist right now," and it like it was like it's crazy.
I'm going through a tough time.
Be there for me.
My keys are,
it actually
my
gives
keys
great
are in my
advice.
I literally like before this episode, you know, locking my keys in the car.
Yeah.
I was like, "Is there?" And almost you can go to ChatGPT. I need help. what do I do?
Nobody lies.
And it's so patient. It listened and gave you
exactly.
advice.
But like, don't stress, Callum. This is what you need to do.
Exactly. But thank goodness there were humans out there, so I was able to see them and get them help.
So you still need humans at the end of the day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is a conversation that we can talk about forever and ever, I think. And it's not definitely not the end of AI. I mean, I know we said it's been evolving for years, but it's definitely still evolving. Mm. And that's the whole concept of machine learning. It's just a constant growth thing. So I think we'll definitely maybe sometime come back and just talk about how it's evolved ever since 100%. This episode and talk about the new risks. We'll see if it has taken people's jobs or how far it's taken people's jobs as well. But it's definitely a conversation that we can revisit in the future, because at this point, it's not going anywhere. I think we can all agree it's definitely here to stay.
100%.
So thank you guys for listening to this conversation, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Cheers.